We've had a wonderful week, and maybe some of it might come out in what I'm going to say this morning. But I want you to look at 1 Samuel 17 with me this morning. And I'm not going to read it all, because I've absolutely no question in my mind that you know the story of David and Goliath. Is that right? David and Goliath. And so David, who's been anointed by God to become the next king, he goes down at his dad's request to actually take some sandwiches for his brothers, three of them who were fighting with Saul, King Saul, against the Philistines. When he gets down there, there's this hubbub about, have you seen Goliath? And now, you know, we can't really fight because he keeps coming out and saying, just one of us go and fight, and so on. And of course, you know the story. The story is that David says, well, I'll go do it. And he actually defeats Goliath and wins the day, wins the battle, and God gets all the glory. But I just want to read one verse from verse 45, which has been a verse that has kind of been in my heart for some time. And David said to the Philistine, right? Somebody said that with me. David said to the Philistine. Does it say David thought about this? Or does it say David said? Said. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Whew. That's strong talk, isn't it? But really what I want to talk about this morning, you can put the first screen on, because that's my message if you want to write it all down and leave early. But basically I want to speak today to you about stepping into your anointing. Because I believe there is something very significant about this passage, that David believed he had an anointing. You've all gone very quiet. Now, what does anointing mean? It means simply that God... Is it too loud? Am I doing something wrong? Hearing aid just needs an adjustment. Please don't be offended at that. We have hearing aids in our house. Is that okay? If you've got hearing aid, needs to be on the T setting. You should have a T setting on your hearing aid. Okay. Do we know who it is, where it is, how it is? It's probably Joan. Is it not? No? No. Praise God. Is there anything else we need to do? Perhaps you need to put your glasses on or turn your phones off. You found it? What was it? Praise the Lord. We're there? We're there. Good. I don't want Joan to miss this. Amen. The thing is, David believed that he had an anointing. One of the things that I have found is this. Me and my wife just been ministering to about 20-odd missionaries from around the world. And, you know, none of them actually believed that what they've accomplished for God, they did by their own skills. They had skills, but actually they believe that God anointed them. You know, if you want to put anointing in different ways, anointing simply means that somebody got some oil and put it on their head and symbolized the Holy Spirit, said that from now on you'll have a dimension of God in your life that you didn't have before, and it will accomplish you to do things that you could not do on your own. you will have favor and God's blessing, and you will be able to accomplish what he has planned for you to do. Wow. Anybody here not want that? I thought so. So you should all be in with me on this message then. I'm pulling you in. You've all heard of that great evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. Yeah? Very old now. Bless him. I saw him on Facebook the other day. But what a fantastic ministry and life he has had. But he wrote something that was really very, very powerful. He said, on the day of this battle, there were four different types of people. First, he said there was Saul, who had lost his anointing. Secondly, there was the army who were waiting for someone to have an anointing. Thirdly, there was Goliath, who hates anything and wants to destroy anything to do with the anointing. And fourth, there was David, who believed he had an anointing. Yeah? Now, very good thoughts from Reinhard Bonnke. But listen, what we see there is David, who believes he has an anointing, did it because he knew that God was able to do supernaturally what he could not do naturally. Now, I've just come back from this mission conference in Croydon, as I said to you. And we caught up with some old friends and made some new ones. But the wonderful thing is, a couple called Clive and Mary Beckenham, who actually Mary's brother, who's now with the Lord, knew very closely. And he knows Pete Butt, School of Ministries goes on in Kenya. But here's what I was talking to them about. They said 23 years ago, during the great HIV epidemic that was in Africa, and still is in certain places, but it's gone in many others, if a child was born with HIV, it was abandoned. And they said God just touched our hearts. And we began to say, if you find an abandoned baby with HIV, bring it to us. And they just reported at this missions conference that they've up to date saved, rescued 1,700 HIV babies. Many of them now have grown up. Some have become leaders in the church. When you look at them, I could have brought a picture of them today. Well, Mary's from Leeds, so she's got a great Yorkshire accent. Very down to earth. And David's just a guy who went through Kenley Bible School many years ago and went to serve the Lord with their lives. But they believed that God could do something with them, because they'd believed when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had an anointing to do something for God. Now I could tell you about others. One lady, I hope, was going to be coming up to Wisbeach soon for a holiday. Why you want to? No, no, I won't go there. No. Just one more. Sat up late one night with a young guy called Andy. And Andy has got a passion for finding the worst people in London and sharing Jesus with them. But you know what? Clapham Common is a very rich area, right? But in the midst of all that, some of the worst drugs and crime and prostitution going on or whatever. And he said, God, I'll go. And he's one of these, I mean, I could never be like him. For a start off, he's skinny and I'm not. And he's got a beard and he looks a bit, I don't know, like some of you young guys look anyway. Wears funny hats on his head and all that sort of stuff. And he said, God, if you want me to go, You've got to provide a place for me on a Sunday morning where I can reach these people. Do you know, right in the center of Clapham, right, one of the top restaurants, God told him to ring the woman, and he rang her. And she said, yes, you can use our restaurant Sunday mornings. And now he gathers these people, a bit like Matt does at Norwich. But he's gone, not very big congregation, maybe 20 max, but he's got this congregation of people who've been drug pushers and all the rest of it, and finding the love of Jesus. When you talk to him, he actually talks more about how many times he's failed, that he doesn't even think he should really be serving or doing anything for God, because he feels that his life's still not sorted out fully. But you know what? He believes that he's got an anointing. Yeah? He believes he's got an anointing. And so what I wanted just to try and encourage you this morning in this is that we're living in some momentous times, aren't we? In our nation. What's happened this week? And I think it's time for us to look again and see that we need to release the anointing for the reason that God saved you. Can I tell you, releasing the anointing is different to giving you a job in the church. See, I can say to Scott, have you told the church about what happened? You haven't. He went the other week and 10 more people gave their lives to the Lord. 5 more bikers and 5 teenagers. Okay? So shall we have him measured up for a white suit? No, because basically, you remember when I spoke at Kellyneath, the woman at the well, what happened was Jesus changed her life and then she went back to where she'd come from. He's going back to the people he knows. And God's blessing it. See, it's really important to know where your anointing is. And you can either do something with that or you can ignore it. But one day, I don't want to get heavy on this, but one day you will have to give an account of the deposit, of the investment, of the Holy Spirit that God put into you and fixed it and fitted it to be in your temperament, to suit your DNA, to suit your social network. God says, that's where I want to anoint you, but you've got to be willing. Yeah? You've got to be willing. So, Scott, I want to thank God that you were willing, because I don't think you felt adequate. In fact, I know you didn't. That's why he asked me from May last year to pray for you about the Christmas one. I thought, man alive, it's 6 months away. But you wanted to get enough prayer in. What's the difference then? Well, it's understanding, I believe, what our anointing is really all about, what it's for. And I believe it's time for us in Norfolk to go to a new level of mission and defeat the enemy. Really do. But I think probably part of that is to accept what O.J. Smith, the great revivalist from Canada and great pastor, he's no longer with us. But he said this, the mission of the church is mission. The mission of the church is mission. Now, if I had anything this morning that I would really like to drill a hole in our brains and drop that little line in, it's so that we begin to see that is what God and where God is releasing his anointing. Yeah? He's glad you're all saved this morning and he loves your praise and worship and he loves all the things that we're doing here. But can I say that the mission of the church is mission. And that mission is not Daryl having to organize some outreach events. It's actually beginning to say, like Esther, I've been brought to the kingdom. I'm alive now for such a time as this. And God has saved me. And if I understand scripture correctly, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been given an anointing from God. And that anointing is for you and your life to fulfill the will of God. Now, some people say, well, what is the anointing? I just want to remind you this morning that in the Old Testament, the anointing primarily was to defeat the enemy. So God comes on Gideon and says, defeat the Midianites. Yeah? God comes on Samson and he just gets a jawbone and kills loads of Philistines. In that very physical realm, he's showing us that the anointing is always to do with defeating the enemy. And so when we come to David here, I want to say to you this morning, if we have an anointing and we're not defeating the devil, something is missing. Because God wants us to be a devil-defeating bunch of Christians. Yeah? That's what he wants. And I'm encouraged. I really am. There's a new generation that some of them are meeting last week, and I know that what they were telling me as well. There's a new generation out there that's saying, hey, I'm so glad the word missionary is going history. That we're not going to have missionaries anymore. Do you know why? Because a missionary is somebody different from you. And it's a lie. Same anointing, same Holy Spirit, yeah? Same call, same Jesus. So the new word is mission workers. So just turn to somebody next to you and say, hello, missions worker. Because in this global village in which we now live, it doesn't matter whether you're in Ukraine, St. Petersburg, Africa. What matters is that every believer is realizing they've been anointed to be a missions worker. And local church, we've got to grasp this again, otherwise there'll just be an increasing separation between what's happening out there and what's happening in here. And that's not the will of God. Now, where are we going with this with David? Well, I tell you, I want to tell you that I want to defeat the enemy, do you? I want to tell you, I believe that Paul says to us, we're not to be ignorant of his purposes in 2 Corinthians 2:11. That your enemy is the devil. He's your enemy. That he goes around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can chew up. He's a serpent, he's a dragon, he's a tempter, he's a liar, he's a destroyer. He gets behind people and structures and strategies and governments and he influences them for destruction. Friends, behind ISIS is demon power. The devil is behind it. And it's coming nearer and nearer, have you noticed? You see, for us today, we cried when we heard about Manchester. Oh, God, the pain, whatever. But you know, in the same few days, 20 Egyptian Coptic Christians in Egypt were slaughtered by pulling off buses and killing them. In Afghanistan, bunches of people were pulled and slaughtered. And the world, the news is there. While I was away speaking, I got a text message from Miley saying, please, can you pray? There's one of our sister organizations in Afghanistan and the Taliban have come and they've killed this girl's friend. She's only in her 20s and they've took her and abducted her and they killed the chokidar, the guard on the door, cut his throat. And basically, this is just last week. So that's why I'm encouraged. I'm not just encouraged because people are sort of starting to become aware that they have anointing and they can do it. I am encouraged by that. But I'm encouraged by those who are prepared to live in the hell holes of this world and still say that they can have an anointing. Yeah? So yeah, Manchester, Egypt, Afghanistan. Friends, can I just tell you that I believe that Satan is in IT. I believe Satan's behind politics, some of it. I believe he's behind some education. I believe he's behind some business. I believe he attacks families, that he attracts people to the lies of drugs and pornography. I believe that he destroys people wherever he can. And that we are in a battlefield like David. And we cannot just come into a holy bubble and say we can do nothing, can we? We have to ask, and this is the big question, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, let me go through these things very quickly. First is this, when you've asked what your anointing is for, and you've heard me say it's to defeat the enemy, then you've got to make some choices. The first is this, why didn't Saul do anything? Because he'd lost his anointing. Can I tell you that you need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit if you want the anointing to come through you? Saul had had the anointing. He was anointed by Samuel, and then he went riding with the prophets, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he began to prophesy, and people said, oh, look, Saul is among the prophets. So how come he's here on the battlefield, and he's timid, and he's scared, and he doesn't know what to do? Or I'll tell you what's happened is he's lost his anointing. And friends, we can either say, oh, well, that's just because he was a king of Israel. Or we can actually, in the New Testament, say, hang on a minute, God has anointed us. What am I doing with the anointing? What difference am I making? Is there a difference being made? Because I'm sure, like me, you don't want to be like Samuel, like Saul, rather. He lost it. And the difference between Saul and David is this, that Saul chose to do nothing, but David chose to do something. That's what the anointing does. The anointing says, I can't do nothing, I've got to do something. The Holy Spirit inside a person means they've got to do something. Now, I'm not trying to put what that is today. I'm not saying it means you're all going to be pastors, leaders, or whatever. But what I'm saying is, whatever forum God has put you in, He's put you in there to release the anointing. If you're working in a shop, then work in the shop. Like Bill Johnson said to that couple who came to him, we've just both passed our degrees, Bill. My husband's an engineer, civil engineer now, and I'm a theatre, you know, qualified as a theatre nurse. Where should we go? And he just honestly looked at them and said, I don't really care. So long as wherever you go, you preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, and declare the kingdom of God is here. Because that's what our anointing's for. By the way, this is Christianity. If you've heard another type, or if you're living another type, I want to stir you up this morning to say, hey, if you really are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given you anointing to do something where you are. Where you are. So you cannot do nothing. I love this quotation. I think it's on there. Can you put it up for us, please, Claire? It's this one. I am only one, but I am one. Can you say this with me this morning? I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. That's stepping up. That's stepping up and realizing that you can actually do something for God, no matter what your age is. David was looking at Saul, and I've got a sneaky feeling that David was saying, hey, Saul, how come you no longer feel like me? Where's your anointing gone? Eh? Where's your anointing gone? So, what stops the anointing? Well, you can go back to the other one, Claire, now, the first one, if you would. So we can do nothing or we can do something. Can you say that point with me? Do nothing or do something. Second point, full of fear or full of faith. Full of fear or full of faith? See, when I was studying this, I remember this kind of funny thought coming to me. You see, Saul was looking at Goliath and saying, look how big he is. But David was looking at Goliath and saying, how can I miss? It's the prospect of faith. It's what God says he can do that makes the difference. Fear, there's a screen up there, Claire, if you want to put that one on. Fear has two meanings, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. My friend Stuart Robinson from Australia says this, what is fear? It is, I've written it down somewhere. I've reached that age when if I say something, it just goes, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear does. Fear comes and says, you can't do this, you can't do that. How can you save 1,700 HIV babies? How can you live in Democratic Republic of Congo? How can you get a restaurant on a Sunday morning in Clapham? How can? You see, what happens is the anointing begins to break the yoke. That's what Isaiah 10 says. The anointing begins to break the yoke over the person. So, oh, I can't do this, I can't do it. But the anointing on your life as you walk in the Spirit begins to break yokes. The yokes aren't just sin and stuff. And the yokes are, what am I held in bondage to? What am I held back from doing in the will of God? So, to Saul, Goliath was a giant. But to David, God was ginormous. And he said, oh, wow. I can't fear this guy. See, I believe the anointing comes through something else, and I'll pass on quickly. Say this with me. Listen to men or listen to God. See, David and Saul were different in that Saul was listening to men. But David was listening to God. You know, friends, my prayer life is not about just having to say prayers. My prayer life is having to know what God wants me to do. My prayer life is reporting every day to headquarters to find out what he wants to do that day. And having fellowship with him and listening to his voice. See, friends, if you listen to God, sometimes pastors, leaders, all of us, we're getting to think we know. We need to hear God. You need to hear God for yourself. You need to hear God. And basically everything we do has got to come out of that sense, whether we're listening to men or listening to God. What was the lady who went to Hong Kong? Jackie Pullinger would never have gone if she'd listened to all those rationalists. But God don't want us to be rational about some stuff. He just wants us to be willing because we've heard his voice. Speak, Lord, said Samuel. Your servant is listening. Okay? Quickly passing on. Listen to men and listen to God. Stay silent or get vocal. Right? What do I mean by that? David said, we can defeat this enemy. We can do this. Not in our own strength, but because God's with us. That's what verse 45 says. So I just want to say to you this morning, that if you're silent, that's just like what was happening to all the army. Well, who's going to deal with this? Who's going to deal with this? But into their ranks came a young guy who said, God's bigger than this. We have to be careful because sometimes young people in the Bible get a raw deal, don't they? Joseph had a raw deal from his brothers. I've seen a vision of God, and what's going to happen is you're all going to bow down to me, and I'm going to be with her. Right? And they chucked him in a pit and sold him. And he went through a lot of time. David had the same thing. Every time he opened his mouth, his elder brother Eliab said, what are you doing down here? Come here. Just trying to, I know what you're trying to do. Just shut your mouth off again and all that kind of, right? But David knew that God had put something in his heart. And he said when it came to the crunch, who's this Philistine that he dares disobey the living God? Eh? See, the anointing comes out of your mouth. And when you begin to declare what God's told you, initially some people might struggle with it. See, somebody comes and says, well, God's told me to do this in King's Lynn. Oh, has he? Okay. What's it about? What's the purpose? What's the goal? Because the bottom line has always got to be the gospel, yeah? The gospel line's always got to be defeating Satan and rescuing people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Because you know I'm not into barbecues that just make sinners fatter. We want to save them from hell. Yeah? Rick knows this and he agrees with it totally. We just don't want to go out on the street and pray for the sick and see them healed. We want them to come to know Jesus, the healer. Yeah? And so all those things, they're fantastic, and we must do them. But at the end of the day, we must actually say, but the anointing, Jesus said, is to open blind eyes in Luke 4. Set prisoners free. That's the anointing, friends, that God wants you to do. And if we're not seeing that, then we have not got a anointing that's defeating the devil. So, room in your bag for what matters, or a bag full of stuff? See, when it read there, David just had his pouch. And they just took 5 stones and he put them in there. I want to tell you, if you look in my wife's bags, if I drop 5 pound coins in my wife's bag, it would take me 30 minutes to find them. I tell you, she's got a Makito chainsaw in there. Everything. But listen, I'm joking, but the truth is this. You can say a lot about a person by what they've got in their bag, because their bag is all about their stuff. Yeah? Their stuff. See, David knew that if he was going to move swiftly, he couldn't have anything to hold him back. Does your stuff hold you back from your anointing? The stuff that I do, the stuff that I enjoy. Well, one day you'll have to leave it all. We've just had our brother Mike took from this world into the presence of Jesus. You know, whatever he had does not matter anymore. But what he was on this earth, he's taken with him. Praise God. That's the stuff you want to take with you. What you did here and now. That's why, friends, it's good to check your bags. It's good to go in the loft and have a clear out. And it's good spiritually to say, what's holding me back? Why can't I receive more from God? Simply because you've got no room. Like what I saw on Facebook the other day when Lois came home with all her junk and Jessica's now coming home with all her junk. What do you do with it all? But you know, spiritually we've got to say, God, is there any junk in my life that's stopping the anointing? If you call me to do something, would I go and do it? Or would I say, no, I can't do that? See, when I'm with missionaries who got their kids living in countries, isn't that dangerous? Yeah, but God looks after us. Yeah. So, I'll better wind up. Oof, time's gone quick. Old ways or new ways? Saul's armor didn't fit David. Don't try and be somebody else. Why be somebody else when you can be uniquely anointed yourself? It's time to recognize that. There's new ways. Not armor, but a sling. I did some checking up on the sling. Do you know that they reckon a full sling, a full pelt, actually travels the same speed as a 45 caliber pistol bullet? David believed that. He believed. You see, people said, no, you need this, you need that. No, no way, David says. Saul said, there's no way in just with a sling. David says, no, no, no. God can find a way. God can find a way. God's finding all over the world, friends, new ways of doing things. And he's looking for people who will say, I believe the anointing can make a way. I believe the anointing on my life can actually change things. Can actually do things. Of course, one of the great issues is this: self-preservation or self-sacrifice. See, David saw Saul step back, but he decided to step up and step forward. See, I believe this is the big problem sometimes with our culture today. But David was willing to step out and place his life in the hands of God. Someone has said, love is the root of all we do, but sacrifice is the fruit. Sacrifice is the fruit. What do I really sacrifice for the Lord Jesus? Christ the Lord, cornerstone. Wow, Jesus, Jesus, we love you. And they say, really? Really? See, I know that we give our finance, perhaps we give a tithe or an offering or whatever. But that's only one aspect of giving ourselves, isn't it? And I just want to encourage you today to realize that along the way, the anointing comes to us all and says, here am I, send me. Send me, I'm willing. I'm willing to do something. Graham Chittick was telling me that when he sort of retired from being pastor, he's just one of the eldership team now, just still doing a good job with us. But God said to him, go into schools, and he's now board, the head guy of the chair of governors. But he was in a meeting just recently, and he raised his voice and said, one of the reasons these schools need to do better and will do better is if we have prayer in our board meetings and in our, what do you call it, meetings, and in the school again. And you know, they're going to do it. They're going to reintroduce. See, that's making a difference. That's making a difference. We're bringing God back in, bringing his kingdom back in. But of course, he had to face the fact that that might have not gone down well. Yeah? There might have been some opposition. There might have been an atheist there. But no, he just stepped out and spoke up. Yeah? Step out to do something. God has given you an anointing to defeat the enemy in your life. And there can be hundreds of ways that that new anointing is released. But it will include faith. It will include the supernatural. It will include boldness. But it will defeat the enemy. It will bring God's kingdom. It will bring God's power and God's light. And I really believe it's time to define ourselves in our relationship with God. Is it just what we are, or is there something more? Is there just this special breed that God says, well, these are all Christians, but these are my special Christians? I don't believe so. I believe God has given that to every one of us. And it's up to the response in our hearts. You know, friends, wouldn't it be great to have 100 DBS groups in King's Lynn? Yeah. You can do it. It's not impossible. It's a mission that's possible. Well, what's my vision? Is it adults? Is it children? Is it families? Is it alcoholics? Is it drug addicts? Is it poor? Is it marginalized? Is it to be somebody in my business? Is it to produce a business that's actually serving God with integrity amidst business that's all a mess in this world? Is it to go to the villages? Is it like Matt, getting the bus ready for bus ministry? I don't know. Is it somebody who's saying, I tell you what, the Muslims, we're going to have to really reach them with the gospel in this country soon too, so we better get trained to reach Muslims. A great organization by Gordon, what's his surname? His wife's a prophetess from Oxford. Yeah, Gordon Hickson. Just felt God said to him a few years ago, get people praying in England. For the Muslims. They call it Mahaba, which is Arabic for love. They meet all over. We can join. Fancy leading a Mahaba group? Fancy learning how to reach Muslims? Having a monthly prayer meeting? What about that? That could be something you do. What about taking on some missions report and encouraging missionaries where they are? What about any new initiative that comes into the town? All we want to say, friends, is your kingdom come, your will be done. But I've got a choice to make. I'm either going to be like Saul or I'm going to be like David. But I don't know about you, I've got a sneaky feeling here today that people who know the Lord Jesus, they believe that God can do more through them. And if they will just begin to match up a willingness to step up, the anointing will increase. Yeah? And they will defeat. See, defeating the enemy is not just casting out demons. It's actually making a family that was dysfunctional whole. Yeah? Seen lives like Scott's turned around by Jesus and his love filling his heart. Let's just pray. Time's gone. Heavenly Father, today as we close this meeting right now, we just ask you to really speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you, Lord, the anointing has been given to everyone in this room this morning who knows Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, right now that we will begin to step up, that we'll not start saying, this is it, this is all I can do, I'm too old, or whatever, that we will begin to say, Lord, we'll do whatever you want us to do. You know, God will begin to speak to you once you say that to him. Once you say that to him. Once you listen to him, he'll speak to you. So Heavenly Father, I pray today that your word will just be held in hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Close the meeting now because it's time. But if anybody wants prayer, I believe there's some people here this morning, and I don't know what God's saying to you, but I know this much, we want God to do what he's saying to you, through you. So we'll just hang around here and pray for anybody that says, I want to step up, Paul. I want to step up in that anointing. As we pray over you, we believe God will speak to you. God will begin that. So the Lord bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. And have a great week. Good bank holiday tomorrow.